WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new movie, Sin City, is based on the comic book series of the same name by Frank Miller. The Sin is short for Basin City. It's a place that thrives on corruption, revenge, and passion. One character promises there's going to be blood for blood and by the gallons. The stories deliver on the promise. The film version of this urban nightmare stays true to the comic's film noir feel, following the book's ink drawings nearly frame by frame. The cast includes Bruce Willis, Mickey Rourke, and Jessica Alba. Robert Rodriguez initiated the film adaptation. He co-wrote and co-directed it with Miller and also served as cinematographer. Rodriguez's other films include El Mariachi, Desperado, and Spy Kids. Before we meet Miller and Rodriguez, here's a scene from Sin City. One part of town has been ruled by prostitutes who kicked out the pimps and the cops. But after the women kill a man who turns out to be a cop, they know the cops will want to get even and that their days of free reign are over. Here's Rosaria Dawson and her sometimes lover Clive Owen, who helped kill the cop.
We'll fight the cops and the mob and anybody else who tries to move in on us. We'll go to war.
Don't be stupid, Gail. You wouldn't stand a chance. Get me a car.
Who do you think you are, giving orders? You got what you wanted out of us. You got what you wanted out of me.
If I don't make it, you can have your war. A hardtop with a decent engine, and make sure it's got a big trunk.
I'll always love you, baby.
Always. Never.
I asked Frank Miller if he could describe his original concept for the Sin City comics.
Sure, there's a little bit of irony there, because I first showed up in New York City. I mean, I'm basically a country boy from Vermont. I first showed up in New York City with a bunch of drawings of tough guys in trench coats and beautiful women in vintage cars, and tried to sell myself as a comic book artist when all they were really willing to publish at the time were guys in tights punching each other out. So I had to learn how to do that. And that took me away from my tough guys and my vintage cars and all the stuff that would eventually become Sin City. And across the way, I gained enough notoriety to get Hollywood's attention and was hired to work on the movies for a while. And I was kind of startled at that time to realize how little control a writer has in a movie, how little control almost anybody has at the onset when they're still working out the movie. So I spent a long time working in movies, at least it felt like a long time, and a couple of years after, a couple of years of doing that, and I sat down at my drawing board, not having drawn for 2 years, which was a first in my life, and I just decided I would draw the comic book I always wanted to do. The hell with the comic book industry, the hell with Hollywood. And out came Sin City, and of all things, this drags me back into the movies.
Yeah, right. You know, it's funny, did you say that you were from Vermont?
Yes.
Oh, that is so great, because Sin City is like your basic urban nightmare. I mean, yeah. All the cops are corrupt. Everybody's out for revenge. Blood is like pouring through the streets. Most of the women are prostitutes, which isn't your typical Vermont town, that's for sure.
No.
So where does this like urban landscape come from?
I was in love with the big city from when I was a little kid before I ever saw it. I was like, it was like the Emerald City to me, New York was. And I just, my fantasies all revolved around the city. And when I moved here, I fell in love. It was as if I should have been born here.
So, I mean, did you crave the kind of violence and blood in your life that's in the comic? Is that the urban?
Well,
is that the city you were looking for?
I think we all crave intense sensation, and when you put that into fantasy, it comes across as intense. And often it's something you can feel as pleasure rather than pain. But no, the couple times I've been punched in the jaw, I didn't enjoy it a bit. And it's not something I'd recommend to anybody. But I think that melodrama is really the realm of intensities, be they violent or sexual. And once you stop thinking realistically about them, it all kind of makes sense. It's not happening to us. It's happening to these people on the pages and on the screen.
No, one of the things you have in your comic, Frank Miller, is fantastic tough guy, hard-boiled writing, and which the film is really true to. I'm going to ask you to read a passage. Why don't you just like describe what's happening here and then read this passage for us?
Okay. Our hero, John Hartigan, played by Bruce Willis, is being beaten up by a rotten cop who's attempting to get a false confession out of him for a crime he didn't commit. And he knows his life is virtually over, and he's explaining why he can't give them what they want, because they're willing to give him his freedom. God knows why I didn't die there like I should have, back there on that rotten, blood-soaked dock where I rescued skinny little Nancy Callahan from that pervo son of a senator, where my partner filled me with 6 magnum slugs and nailed together with the first few pieces of the frame they've stuck me in. Yeah, I should have died back there on that dock. I should have died, and I wish I had, to the extent that I wish for anything. Past worrying. Past giving a damn. It's like it's all happening to somebody else. The wet sounds of impact stop. My head rolls around on my shoulders. My mouth coughs out a lot of blood. All on their own. Without me asking them to, my lungs expand, sucking in dusty, hot air, rusty old factory air. Detective Leibowitz gives out with a trombone deep beer belch and chuckles. He's getting angry.
That's a real tough guy style of writing. What inspired you to write in that style?
I don't know, really. I've always been drawn to it. I think partly because things have gone so much the other way in fiction, whether it be pop or literature or whatever, that I think there's a beauty to the core of the American hard-boiled writing that goes all the way back to Dashiell Hammett and even Hemingway, but found its like most poetic voice in Raymond Chandler. And I guess I just respond to it because I love morality plays. And Sin City is, for all of its gru, deeply romantic. And it's called Sin City because the basic subject of Sin City is virtue.
Robert Rodriguez, what is the combination of film and computer graphics and drawing that you used in order to get that pulpy comic book look in a live action movie?
The thing is, you normally would shoot on film and shoot on real sets. And if you ever look at even your favorite black and white movie, and it's really gray and white because there's so many midtones and colors that just go to a sort of drab gray. And what's great about Frank's books being pen and ink is that he used no midtones at all. He would just use a straight black and a straight white. Sometimes blood would be white in order to show up against the black. And it was a very almost negative images going on. And I thought that's what I want the film to look like. I want it to be that punchy. And by shooting digital, by shooting in front of a green screen where we could separate the actors from each other and from the sets that we can put in digitally later and make very simple, like an ink drawing, and take out those midtones. That's why when you watch the movie, the black and white is of an inky quality that you would not see in any other movie. And then we throw in color on top of that, splashes of color, and it becomes very abstract. It becomes very almost like conceptual art.
Now, there's so much violence in both the Sin City comics and in the movie, including, you know, mutilation, beheading, dismemberment. Frank Miller, why did you want that degree of violence? And these are all, a lot of this is stuff that just doesn't really happen, like there's somebody with with a swastika-shaped razor who can, and she can like hurl it and sever your hand off. I mean, thank goodness this doesn't, as far as I know, exist in real life. But why did you want to head in that direction in your fantasy life?
I'm not a believer in restraint, really, when it comes to fiction, because I believe there's a distinct difference between reality and fiction that has to be observed. And I often dive into my stories wishing to create a fever dream. Even though I put a lot of preparation into the plotting, when I start executing, I work very quickly, and I want to push things to extremes because I want to get a reaction out of the people who read it. Also, I come from a field and an art form, comics, that do not have the rather notorious punch that film does. And part of my job is getting people's attention. I've also got to say that after 60 some years of this utterly sanitized Batman and Superman stuff, where the heroes become deputies and all the cops are honest, somebody had to crack that egg open and really make some noise.
Well, what does it do to your imagination when your goal is to let it go and find the most sadistic parts to mine?
It's releasing. I mean, I think that's really what Sin City is. It happens in a perverse never land. You never know what part of the country you're in. I mean, some days it has palm trees, the other days it has water towers that look like they're straight from New York. Occasionally I'll steal a skyscraper from Chicago. I mean, you know it's in America, but you don't know exactly where it is. And these very lonely, isolated, intimate stories. The idea is to capture those moments of great decision and of grave sacrifice and all of that. But in the middle of all of that, to make for some as much sick humor as possible.
And there is a reason why it also seems so much of a good thing in the movie, and it's because I put three of his books together. So it feels even more relentless because it'd be this equivalent of getting three of Frank's books and reading them back to back to back, three in a row. So by the end of the movie, you're going, oh my God, there was beheadings, there was this disembowelments, but that's because there were three stories put together. He didn't craft it to be that. I had just put that together in order to give people a better sense of what Sin City was about, rather than just taking one story and padding it out to feature length. So it's really not true to his books in that way, in that you are getting a little too much all at once in the movie version of it. But I thought that was worth doing anyway, just to give people a better sense of the world.
My guests are Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller. They co-wrote and co-directed the new film Sin City, which is based on Miller's comic books of the same name. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh. My guests are Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller. They co-wrote and co-directed the new film Sin City, which is based on Miller's comic books of the same name. Let's talk about the drawing of the people. The men are big and muscular, kind of hulking. The women, most of the women in your stories are, particularly in one story, are prostitutes. And as you say in the book, in Sin City, the ladies are the law here, beautiful and merciless. If you've got the cash and you play by the rules, they'll make all your dreams come true. But if you cross them, you're a corpse.
That's an important distinction, actually, is that
Robert?
Yeah, no, that's great, though. But that's actually a section of Sin City. That's not really all of Sin City. When they talk about Old Town, that's the red light district.
Well, let's talk about this section. This is the red light district. And,
well, what they've done is they've killed all the pimps and they've struck their deal with the cops, and you can't mess with these girls.
And they are dressed in your basic fetish attire.
I borrowed a lot from Versace, I've got to admit.
Yeah, well, they're dressed in your basic, you know, like leather corsets and chokers and boots. And I mean, all they need is like the whips. But instead they have like heavy automated weapons. So,
Terry, I've got to tell you, the cartoonist's dirty little secret is that we tend to do stories that involve things we like to draw.
That stuff actually makes great drawings too. I mean, the costumes he drew in the book, you could see why from a pen and ink standpoint he would choose those costumes. And that was the first thing we tried when we went to do the movie. So, well, let's try actually making that suit for real, and if it doesn't work, we'll modify it. But all Frank's clothing designs worked quite remarkably, actually.
Wait, is that drawing a part an homage to some of the artists who did that? I mean, a lot of this work has been collected now. You know, from the 50s, that kind of 1950s fetish pinup girl type of.
Actually, no. I mean, it really wasn't because it was the 50s. People I owe much more to are artists like Wallace Wood and Johnny Craig and Will Eisner from the same period, who did the crime stuff. I just was trying to figure out what all my hookers would be wearing, and I was at a bookstore with my wife, and she showed me this book of Versace, and then we started gathering these magazines, and I realized that there was this endless wealth of stuff that was preposterous and funny and fun to look at.
You're talking about Versace, like the fashion designer?
Yes, he went out and checked out Fifth Avenue hookers for some of his costume designs, and so they ended up being. And the whole idea is in City, you're walking down this grimy street and you see a hooker and she's dressed in an outfit that would have cost her $80,000. It makes no sense, but it's, you know, it's my fantasy.
How did you learn to draw very curvaceous women? Which has the women in your comics are not. They don't have eating disorders.
No, they don't. Just study, I guess. You know, there are people I learned from in cartooning and all through illustration. But it's just in working up the way characters look, I tend to come up with simplest possible shapes, and as soon as I've simplified them enough, I know that I've got them where I want them. When I was doing Marv, for instance, as soon as I took out the bridge of his nose and made his shoulders huge, the rest of him started falling together. And when it came to the girls, they're, of course, impossibly proportioned. But the idea is to break it into as few curves as possible to evoke as much as possible from the reader. So it owes more to hieroglyphs than it does to literature.
So when you say impossibly proportioned, really narrow waist, really big chest.
And
curvaceous
hips.
Yeah.
So,
Robert Rodriguez, how did you approach casting real women to play these impossible fantasies?
He found the ones that weren't impossible.
Well, the thing, yeah, that was one of the main things I wanted to find out too. Is I needed to find out what kind of guy Frank is when I looked at these drawings, and when I realized he was just like the rest of us. He very much is a stylist, and when he told me that he was more interested and took more time drawing their faces, then I knew I had the right co-director because if you see any of my movies, they're mostly always close-ups. They're always right in people's faces and closer and closer because I operate the camera and I get closer and closer to someone's face, which I find the more interesting. So we really did cast the actresses and the actors for their faces.
One of the people you cast in Sin City was Mickey Rourke, who plays that hulking character of Marv.
Marv, yeah.
And, of course, you'd never recognize him because he's wearing a prosthetic face.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why you did that. Is it because Mickey Rourke didn't have the right face, or you couldn't find an actor with the right face? Or
oh, nobody would have the
nobody
face of
would
Marv.
Have the face.
If you see the drawings, it's the most iconic character in the whole book series, and he shows up several times. And when people think of Sin City, they think of Marv, and he's got this very angular face. And and I just thought it was important that whoever played him would have that. And the only person I could think to play him was Mickey Rourke. I had just worked with him on another movie called Once Upon a Time in Mexico and got to know him off the set there. And when I went and looked at Sin City again, I looked at it and went, I know this guy. It's Mickey. Mickey is Marv. I mean, he's as close as we can get to a Marv without getting hurt. He's got that very, very tortured soul quality to him. And I showed it to him and I did some drawings over his face and thought, yeah, I can actually, we can turn his face into the face of Marv. So, and it really helped Mickey because he could really get into the character because he wasn't playing, a variation on himself. He was coming in and playing somebody completely. And he really got into it.
Since we've been talking about an urban nightmare that Frank Miller, you created in the Sin City comics, and that Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez, you've created together in the movie version of Sin City, I'd be interested in hearing if you each have an urban nightmare moment to share that fed your vision of what the nightmarish urban landscape would look like. If there was like an image or a threatening moment that you were each exposed to, that fed your fantasies for Sin City.
Sure. Well, I mean, I could offer a few, but one in particular stands out. I was out one night very late, my first year in Manhattan. You know, this country boy who didn't know which way was up, with this loud talking Puerto Rican guy, and we were out very late at night, and he got the idea to bother some bread makers, you know, some bakers for a loaf of bread, and he banged on their back door until they gave us a loaf of bread, and we kept walking through the Lower West Side, and a hooker with extraordinarily long legs went by, and he started calling her Daddy Long Legs and following after her, and I kind of pulled the guy away from this nonsense. We walked another block, and a very jittery junkie confronted us with a switchblade, and it started demanding money we didn't have. And I thought, well, this is about the dumbest death I could have asked for, and here it comes, because I don't have any money. and this guy's got a knife. Well, the compadre I had, he just starts laughing. The next thing I know, the switchblade's flown across the street, and the guy's flat on his back, smashed to pieces. And my acquaintance Wilfredo turns to me and says, "Well, can I tell you, a black belt?"
Well,
he kicked his butt.
It was about 4 a.m.
I think that's even better than stuff in your book. That's a great story. Me, I have no such interesting tales. My sisters lived in New York, but I have some friends who live in Mexico City, and they had some wild tales to tell me, but I was not witness to any of those.
Frank Miller, you were initially reluctant to have a film adaptation of Sin City. Now that it's out there, how do you feel?
Initially, that was about 12 years, yeah. I mean, I was reluctant for about 12 years.
So how do you feel now that there is a movie?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in heaven. When do we start number two, man?
He's got 7 books, you know, so we could just keep going.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Thanks a lot, Terry. It's great to talk with you.
Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller co-wrote and co-directed the new film Sin City, which is based on Miller's comic books of the same name. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.